Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought. We're having some technical difficulty here. Now we're back.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the snitch. The term snitch, like many other terms, appears to have evolved in its meaning and use? Does it refer to a member of the community towards a crime he or she has witnessed? Are they fair game in the scheme of crime and criminalization? Is it their duty to speak out or self-impose a street gag order? There's a saying, snitches get stitches. Wiktionary says this phrase, snitches get stitches, refers to people who snitch or tattle, which means to tell on somebody, right? Or will in turn or return receive repercussions. It means you tell, you get that butt whipped, right? Or you get something busted on you, right? Urban Dictionary says snitch. In the criminal sense, a snitch will provide information to the police or feds in order to obtain lenient treatment for themselves and provide information over, you know, an extended period or whatever, you know. Webster's Dictionary says, a person who tells someone in authority, such as the police or a teacher, about something wrong that someone has done, someone who snitches. Synonyms for the word snitch: betrayer, canary, that's way old idea, deep throat, fink, ayo, that's some old stuff right there, informant, informer, narc, rat fink, that's old too, snitcher, squealer, stool pigeon, I think it was a rap song, stool pigeon, stoolie, that's old too, tailbearer, I never heard of that one, tattler, that's old, tattletale, telltale, a whistleblower, right? Wikipedia says jailhouse informants who report hearsay, admissions against penal interests, which they claim to have heard while the accused is in pretrial detention, usually in exchange for sentence reductions or other inducements, have been the focus of particular controversy. The Charleston Gazelle Mail says, we have a lot of people, unfortunately, that use drugs that are informants. They become CIs, confidential informants, for monetary reasons. Many confidential informants are paid based on the case. Pay can range anywhere from $20 to thousands of dollars. That was written in 2014. An origin of the term snitch from the Marshall Project by George Wilkinson says snitches get stitches. It's a principle number one of the convict code, the fabled law of honor among thieves, he said. When he first entered the system, he figured avoiding snitching would be easy. How hard could it be not to betray your friends? So one day a buddy of his assaulted somebody, right? And they say a middle-aged man with a Hitler mustache. That's the description of the guy. Anyway, so he assaulted somebody, right? And by the time this guy went to the hole for assaulting this guy, the solitary confinement, if you don't know what the hole is, the guards moved the guy that he assaulted to another block. When he got out, the guy that assaulted the guy, he got out. He said, that bitch snitched on me. And, you know, he was irate about it. Like, you know, he said, that's true, but I thought snitching was when we do something together and one of us rats to get a deal from prosecutors. You've been bullying that dude since he got here. Are you telling me you expect him to be loyal to you after you broke his teeth out? So he smashed this guy's teeth out. When the guy reported it to the authorities in the prison, this guy who smashed the guy's teeth out, who he was bullying, right, called the guy a snitch for telling authorities that he smashed him, right? He said, so he replied to this guy, he said, nah, you got it all wrong. Snitching is when you inform on somebody, period. If you get someone in trouble, that's snitching. The other men around nodded. So I just, he just shrugged his shoulders. Oh, I guess I didn't have that right, you know. I could avoid getting anyone in trouble easy enough. And that snitch tag would follow Chris for the rest of his sentence. But telling somebody broke his snitch, punch him in the mouth and knock his teeth out, and calling this guy a snitch. This is jailhouse stuff. Then he goes on to say, on one occasion, two men fought in a cell while a third blocked the door as a lookout. He kept glancing back and forth toward the guard booth and then into the cell. Suddenly, a team of guards burst through the side door and stormed the cell. As they handcuffed the shirtless and bloody fighters, an officer spoke over his shoulder to the lookout. Hell, man, I was in the booth. If you hadn't been looking back and forth like that, I wouldn't have known. Next time, try not looking so fucking suspicious. The day room got quiet as, you know, the guy he was talking to turned deepening shades of red. Damn, you dry snitched on your boy. Someone hooted across the the room. Remind me never to let you be my lookout. So this guy, he walked toward the voice, stomped over and slapped the taste out of his mouth. You ain't about to pour salt on my name, you bitch motherfucker. He said, I keeps my face right. If you see a snitch, be the snitch. So basically he intimidated this guy into backing down off of trying to brand him as a snitch. Because he was, discovery was made because of his actions in trying not to be discovered. So the lessons here was, getting a guy busted could get you hurt and stigmatized. Your reputation, your face, is your ticket to inclusion. It determines how people treat you, whether officers, nurses, chaplains, or prisoners. So he's saying that you can be labeled a snitch if you inadvertently get somebody busted. But this guy, whoever he was, must have was a real bad dude. You know, because snitches get stitches. But in this case, he challenged the guy that called him a snitch, and the guy backed down. So don't get anyone in trouble, even accidentally. And don't accuse anyone of snitching unless you're ready to be judged by jury and executioner. Wow. So he said, you know, that's a rule in prison. They police themselves and things like that, right? So, guys was in the cell. I guess these guys have a homosexual relationship. Somebody yelled, "Sarge down!" Several men shouted, including Lil Mike, a career convict with an angelic face, neatly combed, solid white hair. Guards had been monitoring two lovers who routinely snuck into each other's cells. This time, the duty sergeant arrived early enough to catch them with their clothes still on. She let them off with another warning. Next time, they go to lock up. That's the hole, right? Solitary confinement. After the sergeant left, the more masculine lover raised. "Why the fuck didn't you say, man down?" He barked at Lil Mike, singling him out. So he's singling probably the weakest link out. Because it's apparently several guys there. So he's going on Little Mike. Little Mike said, "I did. Several of us did. I can't help it. You didn't hear us." He looked to the others who were casually disappearing into their cells. Little Mike was old and feeble. Lover was 30 years older and athletic, fist balled up. So you know what happened to Little Mike. Little Mike got taxed, right? He's talking about, "God damn it, Lil Mike continued. You was too distracted to listen. And anyway, I shouldn't have to say it. You supposed to be on point or post or lookout." At that, Lover went berserk and went to pummeling on Mike's head. So anyway. 2 days later, guards scuffled Lover and placed him into solitary confinement. They investigated the incident. Someone had sent an anonymous note to the warden. Little Mike said he got his bruises when he fell in the shower. They're blaming Danny, Little Mike's boyfriend. A friend told me in the child line he's been acting funny ever since the fight, but that proved nothing. When Lover returned from solitary, he tried to scalp Danny with a homemade razor. Guards witnessed the attack, and he went right back to the hole. He goes on to say, maybe the cold once managed prison's savage element, but some men weaponized it and willed it to maintain their influence. It provides a moral high ground to prey on the weak, to justify almost anything. The rules about snitching and minding one's own business are instruments in a primitive philosophy of survival. Might makes right. The strong survive, he said. This is from a guy who's they say is George T. Wilkerson, 37, is a death row at the Central Prison in Raleigh, North Carolina. So, from provocative thought, I don't know if that story is true or false, but let's just take it for face value. Wow! Here, in prison, the snitch is someone who simply tells on someone, even if it is the perpetrator of an assault against him. It is someone who doesn't warn a convict of impending discovery by prison guards, or who inadvertently or unintentionally warns prison guards of inmate activity, warns or inadvertently or intentionally warns an inmate of the imminent danger of an assault. The snitch code will only perpetuate prison violence and anarchy. If it perpetuates prison violence and anarchy, it will perpetuate violence and anarchy in the community. Is this where the attitude is coming from? Has this mentality spread outside of the prison community? Prison is one of the last places you want to get your role models, ethics, and morals from. In order to betray someone, you have to have allegiance to them. If you inform or rat on your partner in crime, you are a snitch. If you inform on people who trust you with information about them, you are a snitch. 2, ascribe the term snitch to someone who reports crime or disturbances in the community is to self-validate a need to retaliate verbally, socially, and physically against those who share this information with authorities simply because it impacts negatively on you or your peers. Snitches get stitches is an attempt to hold the community hostage while crime goes unaddressed and unchecked. Terrorist threats are sometimes very effective, but everyone does not respond to a threat the same way. Death is never a desirable outcome, and some may choose to live over the threat of death or serious injury. Some may perceive subjugation to a terrorist threat as not living at all. Self-preservation and the preservation of the community are intertwined. Deterring crime is imperative. There is a saying, all it takes for evil to thrive is for good people to do nothing. Something like that. A call to the police is par for the course if you are breaking the law or placing the community or yourself at risk. Get over it. You don't get to do what you want to do, especially if you are putting the community at risk, making the community unsafe, and becoming a public nuisance. Joe Citizen is not a part of a criminal organization and therefore is not subject to the rules, written, unwritten, or otherwise, of any street organization. Most people want to live in a safe and nurturing environment. That means they want to be able to live without the threat of violence, danger, public nuisance in a community where people respect themselves, others, the property of others, where the elders are respected, where women and children are protected, where boys are nurtured to become responsible men, girls are nurtured to become responsible women, and where there is a real sense of community. From USA Today, snitching has become so commonplace that in the past 5 years, at least 48,895 federal convicts, that's one of every eight, had their prison sentences reduced in exchange for helping government investigators that helped get a, you know, chop down their sentences, right? So, from Provocative Thought again, you have allegiance to your community. You have an ethical, moral, and civil responsibility to perpetuate the goodwill of the members of the community. We would hope to be able to accomplish this novelty by, but no, we would hope to be able to accomplish this nonviolently, but ultimately, the goodwill, safety, and sanctity of the community must be preserved and perpetuated by any means necessary. Threats to the health and safety of the community should be targeted for eradication. If you saw a 900-pound grizzly bear roaming in your community, would you call animal control or the police? Of course you would. What if the grizzly bear was a known pet in the community? Would you call the owner? Fact is, this grizzly bear represents an imminent threat in the community. The owner has a responsibility to maintain the safety of the community and is therefore in violation. In fact, he is putting his bear at risk because someone could kill the animal to eliminate the threat animal presents. Problem is, people are not bears. They are community members and members of the human family. Sometimes community members become nuisances and imminent threats to the community. It is the conscience and opinion of the unruly that those who want to be safe in their community suffer as collateral or direct victims of their anarchy and lawlessness. That is a lopsided relationship yielding 0% interest and 100% risk to the community. A need for a phone call to the police is indicative of those individuals' blatant disregard for the health, safety, and sanctity of the community. The lack of respect and communication with the community and the fear of the bears roaming the community, some foaming at the mouth, should not think that they can do whatever they want without consequences. This is absurd. There's a saying, for every force, there is an equal and opposite force. Newton's first law states that every object will remain at rest or in uniform motion in a straight line unless compelled to change its state by the action of an external force. If you create an atmosphere of fear, risk, endangerment, you compel the community to change. People will eventually seek to eradicate the threat. Not calling the police is negligent in preserving the safety, sanctity of the community. Oh, we have a caller. Hello, welcome to Provocative Thought.
This is Q. You hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's the duty of the community to work with the police. I think that's a healthy community. I think it's unhealthy when the community doesn't help. And I think we have a lot of examples of that happening throughout the world. The one that kind of like it's in the news now is all those people coming up this way from South America, Central America, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They come from those type of communities where the criminal element is taking over, where it wasn't healthy for them to work with the police and everything. So now the element took over and they had to leave the community because it's that unhealthy. That lawlessness exists in their in their community so much that they had to leave. And I don't want that to be a part of, you know, American society where the good people have to leave and nobody's there except for the lawless.
Right, that's a good point right there. And maybe that's why some people leave, certain like Los Angeles. Maybe that's why some of those families left into the surrounding suburbs and things like that. And maybe that's why, like in Philadelphia, maybe some people left and went to the surrounding suburbs to get away from all the metal that's being thrown in the air. You know what I'm saying? All the bullets and murder. So, and unfortunately, the surrounding counties are becoming more lethal.
Right.
I mean, you could take a, what's that saying he got? You can take the animal out of the woods, but you can't take that. Some kind of thing. You take the tiger out of the jungle, but you can't take the jungle out of the tiger or something. Well, something anyway.
Yeah.
It's
I know
still
what
a tiger.
Right.
Tiger. I mean, it's still what it is. So if you don't change what it is, you can move it anywhere you want to move it at, but you're just relocating that problem somewhere else.
Right.
You know, I understand families want to save their children, and a lot of people think that, oh, just get away from them. His friends or that group, that thing may change, but, you know, I don't know, you know. Seems to me that these, where these people, where certain people move, these groups are formed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you were a gang member, you know, in Philadelphia, who's to say you won't be a gang member in Yaden, maybe just starting another chapter out in Yaden, or you're a Crip, look at the Crips in the Blood. Some guys from Los Angeles, they got chapters all over the United States.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a good example right there, you know. You can just take that to somewhere else, that mentality, and then, you know, then people might not want to call the police. They look outside, somebody shot somebody. Guess who it is? It's Junebug. So you ain't calling the police on Junebug. Guess why? Junebug eating the same house you eat at.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Junebug
beat some guys up for you. You know what I'm saying? So you ain't making that call. You had some problems. Junebug handle that.
Mm-hmm.
So that call ain't getting made. You know, maybe lady across the street, she hate Junebug. Oh, I'm calling the police on this guy. He's always out here doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, there's probably many reasons why that call gets made and why it doesn't get made, you know what I'm saying? So, depends on who the person is, who the witness is, how afraid you are of the situation, because sometimes people retaliate.
Right.
Let's face it, you know what I'm saying? And it don't have to be a person trying to kill you in retaliation. It could be somebody just, every month you get some bricks thrown in your window. You got to buy a new door or something. Got to buy new tires, sugar in your tank, a Snickers bar in your tank. You know what I'm saying? It don't have to be somebody murdering you. It could be all these intimidating looks because, you know, it could be somebody might kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it just could be somebody killing you. You know what I'm saying? It could be somebody trying to kill you, shoot you, or trying to beat you to death, whatever.
Right.
It's all these things. I mean, the police can't protect everybody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for every crime that's committed, if you have a witness, it's impossible for the police to protect you. It's impossible.
Right.
So that might be another reason why people don't, you know, not making that call. Not, you know, so they're not because they're not trying to snitch, because, you know, they're trying to preserve their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They got to live in that community, so they weighing it on them seams. Do I got to call the police on these guys out here fighting? Anybody get hurt? No, they were shooting. Everything all right? Nobody laying down? Oh, okay, it's over. You might be like, okay. I mean, we don't like it, but, you know, maybe, I don't know. Could be different reasons. You know, you got some people who call the police on anything. You stand, you sitting on their steps. Police call, you know what I'm saying? You stand on the corner too long, playing the music too loud, you're going to get a police call. You know, then there's some people that won't call the police at all. Somebody's shot right outside, or, you know, It's a fight. Looks like it's a lethal situation. No police get called. It's just people watching it. You know, it could be like 30 people watching somebody possibly getting murdered. Of course, you don't know if the person's going to kill, actually die, but you can see, well, there's a knife going into the person. That's a good sign that there could be a death right there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and it may, that stuff is so commonplace that maybe some people are desensitized to that kind of thing, and that call don't get made all the time. You know, it's not that special anymore. All the violence in the community, and I'm not excusing anything and things like that. I'm just throwing this stuff out there. But for some reason, sometimes the calls don't get made, or they don't get made quickly. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Maybe some people are just thinking that somebody else is making the call. Somebody make it. I'm going to watch. I'm going to see what's going on. You know, I'm gonna continue this card game right here. I'm winning. I ain't going out there. They do that all the time. Shoot, I ain't with that. Somebody will call. You know, but you never know. You never know who's out there. You never know who got shot. You never know who's shooting. And it's tragic for both people, whether the shooter thinks so or not. You know what I'm saying? Because because now he just entered into a situation that going to impact on his life in terms of retaliation or imprisonment. You understand what I'm saying? So he's it's not a good scenario for anybody. You know, in terms of those guys, say guys want to take over your corner, they want to sell drugs on your corner, or your house. That's your house unsafe because you got business coming by your house, you got kids, you got people coming to shoot those guys that's selling drugs. They're coming to rob them, actually, not really to shoot them, unless they're having a drug war with somebody. Then now that puts your house in the center or in the backdrop of a drug war because these guys sell drugs on the corner of your house. So that's an endangerment. So what do you do? Do you call the police? You go out there and say, excuse me, y'all, could y'all find another place to, I know y'all making about $1,000, you know, a day over here, but could y'all make that money somewhere else? You know what I'm saying? Depending on who you are, they move. Depending on who you're talking to, they might move. But then some guys want to say, you know, they ain't moving, going nowhere. Staying right here. I'm just where I'm making my money at. I'm eating off in this corner. I don't care if you do live here. So do you see? Is that, you know, a call to the police? And the police could see those guys standing on that corner. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they're not invisible.
Why they let them do that? Right.
Right. Yeah, you can see them. They say, okay, they stand on the corner right there. You know what they know what they're doing. So, I mean, that call, you know, it's kind of, you know. But are they snitches for doing that? Because they're not a part of the criminal organization. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're not a snitch. So and it seems like the term, like the guy was using in terms of the prison term snitch, is a term really to control the the environment you're in the prison. So that's so that I can do whatever I want to do and nobody tells on me. I stab a guy down here. Who did it? Well, one thing they know, somebody on this block did it, right?
Right.
They know that. Well, one of y'all did it. We know. We looking at, you know, who did it. We just gonna figure out which one of y'all did it. You know.
Yeah. So, I think it's like another way to oppress people. You know what I mean? But this one is from the criminal element. You know. I think it's
another
way
to
oppress
what?
People. To oppress people.
Oppress, right, exactly. That's what it sounds like to me.
And,
it's like they drafting you into their environment. Like, you know, you are part of this. So if you tell, you know, you will be reprimanded severely. You're not supposed to tell on me. I'm breaking the law, I'm making the community dangerous, and I'm putting you at risk. But you better not tell. Like,
right, because you're a part of the hood.
Thing I've ever heard. Right.
Because you're a part of the hood.
Right.
What kind of hood member are you if you tell the authorities about our activity?
Right.
But I don't think it's an easy decision all the time, you know. But I think in regards to your home, to you and your family and friends. I think if it's a fight or a struggle, I think it's something worth fighting or struggling for. You know, your home and your lives and your livelihoods and stuff like that. I think that's a worthwhile fight. And you have the police to support you and other good people in the community. Because every month the police
right.
have meetings where people can come, talk to the police, and the police tell them about things that are going on in the community, developments in the community, and they can kind of like begin to establish a relationship with the police. And that's attended by, you know, the good people, I would say.
Right.
In the neighborhood.
Right.
So you don't have to go down by yourself.
Yeah, but safety is important. I mean, if you know, this little old lady is going to tell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little old lady probably don't even care. They probably the ones that call the police the most. I'm putting a target on the back of little old ladies, but they probably got a lot that kind of heart. You know what I'm saying? They've been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you're not doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, maybe some other people. But I'm saying the person that doesn't want to... that makes that call, right? You know, say it's not a little old lady. It's a guy that likes to play on a baseball field sometimes. Guy likes to sit on his porch,
mm-hmm.
wash his car
right.
outside. That guy. What if it's that guy? And he's very
right.
visible in the community. So now
right.
he's a target. He got a target on him. You know what I mean? Got
mm-hmm.
a bullseye on his back now. Because sometimes witnesses do... get intimidated. Sometimes they do get shot or murdered. That's not uncommon. Right?
Right.
All right. So that's a problem right there. You know, it got my, and it's morally and ethically, he agrees that that's his moral and ethical duty to do that, to make that call, you know, to start some kind of intervention. But his survival, he want to be around and enjoy the fruits of that. You know what I'm saying? He don't want
mm-hmm.
to start a movement and you know, get killed for it. You know, he would like to be around mm-hmm. for that. You know what I mean? He don't want to die for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and right. like I said, in, you know, we would like to accomplish it, you know, nonviolently. Because we don't want to call the cops on people and the cops come out there and just shoot some guy either. That's not what we're trying to do. We don't mean that.
Right.
We just want people to respect the law. And if you're breaking the law and you're making somebody feel uncomfortable, respect that. Because
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be a genius to know that people are fearful if you're selling drugs right outside of their house, standing on the corner,
right.
selling drugs on the corner of the block. Especially if they don't know you, especially if you're making stinky faces toward them when you walk by them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So right,
right.
then... I think you merit a phone call every time you're out there. Because you're telling them you're trying to be threatening toward the people. So if you get a stinky face, you know, you're not even smart enough to say, hello, how you doing? Everything all right? You're not even smart enough to be hospitable to the people you're putting in danger. You're just
right.
like the guys in the jail. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I'm going to do what mm-hmm. I want to do, and y'all bid not tell. So that's that Nino
right.
Brown stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
So... is that the idea? Everybody wants to be, you know, a tyrant in the community. You know, that's what it seems like. And you know, and as for the community, they need to make their mind up. You know, as to what they want. You know, do they want to enter on rampant crime and ruthlessness in the neighborhood? You know what I'm saying? Because we're not going to stop
right.
all crime, right? But I mean,
right.
does it have to be that way? You know what I'm saying? You go down,
right.
I go down some communities in South Philly, you don't see guys on the corner selling dope.
Right.
And then you got certain communities in South Philly, you got the guys out in the corner selling dope. Not only they're selling it, asking you if you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
yeah.
it's a difference there. It's a different attitude there. So, you know, what are we willing to do to curb the crime in the neighborhood? What are we really willing to do to curb crime in the neighborhood? Are we fearful of the criminal, unruly element in our neighborhood? You know, and I say that's a yes for some people. You know what I'm saying? Is it okay as long as it doesn't affect you and your family directly? Is it all right for that stuff to go on around you, but they don't mess with you? You know what I'm saying? Is that okay, or do we feel comfortable with that situation? Or does it matter that, hey, my neighbor is living in terror? You know what I'm saying? Does it matter that it's right down the street? I don't know if this family is not safe where they are right there. They have children. She has a husband who could be injured just by interacting with these guys trying to tell them what to do. So they don't respect them. They're challenging him. They're going back and forth. He could get his gun. They could get their gun. And that thing could just go perpetuate the same type of condition that we're trying to avoid in the community. Because we don't want to shoot them. We don't want them to shoot us. Right? Because they are people. So this is not about chopping their heads off, huh?
I had a conversation with some acquaintances of mine, and they were kind of like in their mid to late 20s, kind of guys that not angels, but they're just not criminals, you know, at the time.
Right.
But I know they had like maybe like a history, like in, you know. So now they're not doing anything. They're just regular people. They got a little hustle going on. So we had a conversation about, because their thing was like, don't call the cops. You know, don't talk to the cops. And so I asked them a question. I said, well, what if somebody did something to somebody in your family? You know, you're not going to call the cops. That's who you want to come, the people to come and help out your family members who are prepared to do that, right? I said, nah, I wouldn't call them. Their statement was that they would go and handle it themselves. I was like, what?
Right.
I was like, then y'all like just like a step off from being the guys that actually initiated the thing, the original criminal.
Right. The perpetuating the violence.
Y'all just a step behind them.
Right.
I was like, man, that whole thing of not snitching thing is too much, man. It's
right.
I just hope it doesn't become overwhelming for our communities where we have that lawlessness, where that becomes the attitude of everybody.
Right.
Because that's exactly where we'll head into, where nobody's calling the police. They're just going down there with their gear and handling it themselves.
Right. That's sad, you know, because I think that we're way past going too far at this point. And I was holding a conversation with my sister about hearing rapid gunfire in the neighborhood as the rapid gunfire lasted as long as the conversation we were having. You know, when it was done, a 24-year-old lay dead on the curb just a half a block away. You know, so I mean, that kind of stuff, you know, like, come on, like, yo. That's deep right there, you know what I'm saying? That's going on as long as I'm having a conversation. Do you hear that gunfire? Is that gunfire? You hear that? It was going on before that, doing that, and after that. And it was going off like, you know, like somebody had a strong finger. They must have had a good gun because they was hitting it, or it was more than one person shooting because it was doing, you know, that kind of thing. You know, like it's I mean, we looked outside. We went outside to see, you know what had happened. You know, but we didn't actually see anybody. Though, didn't see nobody running. Didn't see anything. So, but apparently the boy had ran down one of the other streets around the corner, so we couldn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that was sad. You know. You know that the people want us to be that uninvolved. Who don't have our best interests, you know, at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't benefit from anything that they're doing. You know, our communities are becoming places where, you know, death is just a way of life. And I know that's probably impossible, but we have another caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Well, you know, I don't know where you live, whether you live in a major city Or you live in a urban area. Well, it's hard to do it in the city. But blacks got to get that type of element out of their own community in quote unquote society.
Right.
Because you got that element that is doing nothing but preying on people like yourself and your family who's trying to do the right thing. They prey on you.
Right.
They will kill your children, and then they will blend right in with you and become invisible. That's exactly what they do. When you go to work, they're going to break in your house, carjack your car, mess with your kids.
Right.
Have your wife, I mean, your mother and father, when they get done with supper, they can't walk around the block and get exercise.
Right.
That ain't white folks' responsibility.
Right.
That's not Nigerians or Hispanic. That's black people's responsibility. And see, here's the thing. It's difficult to alleviate that for the simple reason. There's no men. I ain't saying male. There's no men.
Right, I got you. I understand.
Blacks always talk about they Africans. Let somebody try that over in Nigeria. Now, other than an arm and surgeon, I'm talking about this buck wild running around like you just got to describe. And you know the funny thing about that? It takes just one white police officer to head in that direction, and that individual with an automatic weapon runs like a rat. All of a sudden, they ain't tough no more. But they'll prey on you. And y'all know what I'm saying, too. And then you know what? When you move, you and your family get the means to flee. Them damn ratchet-ass politicians will come up with programs to reinsert that element wherever you move, either in it or close by. You know why? Because they make money off of that stuff.
Hmm.
Your schools are terrible. It ain't your kid. Your kids go to a school, and so you know your kid don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to be a failure. But the system that they're going in, which is ran by black folks, because the teachers, principals, superintendents get paid. The teachers, in turn, pay dues to the teachers' unions. They get paid. And it don't matter whether the child learn or not. And we know they're not learning because data says that. So when you move, them politicians will work out a way to start that stuff all over again. You go out there, you're out in an area where you've been there for 10, 15, 20 years, have built up equity and assets in a nice house, beautiful yard, no paper and stuff on the sidewalk. You can forget and don't lock your door, come back, everything cool. Give them time. Them politicians will have that stuff right back out in your neighborhood. It ain't saying that you hate black folks, but you hate them. And I don't know what to tell you.
Wow. That's scary.
And I'm telling you from experience, I've seen this. See, you would have to live in by that time, hell, it's too late. They got you. And you don't suffer from it. Only thing I can tell you is, man, you see them two streets, the one on the left and one on the right? Don't go down that one on the right.
Wow.
So anyway, I just wanted to add that so you at least say you heard it. Hope you ain't went down the street. If you have, turn your ass around and get off that street.
That's right. I hear you loud and clear.
All right, then.
Well, appreciate it, brother. Thanks for calling in. Thank you. We have another caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Mr. Jones? Hello? Hello? Okay, maybe just hit the call button didn't mean to say anything. Okay, so Q, you still there?
Still here.
Yeah, so, you know, basically, you know, there is a problem, and brother just called in. It's just the political element to that. So that adds more salt to injury. The police attribute the low rate of homicide clearance rate. That's a somebody kills somebody, they got a suspect, they incarcerate them. That's the clearance rate, right? They said it's low because of this whole thing about no snitching, believe it or not. There's no snitching culture. They attribute that to this low homicide clearance rate, which is crazy because I always thought that the one thing they're going to go after you for is a homicide, which they do.
Right.
But I just thought that it's a body, you're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? You just kill somebody. You know, they're saying, like, you know, that's an impairment. To just even get an arrest, getting somebody arrested for it, and you know what I'm saying? We ain't even talking about a conviction. Yeah. We just talking about just, okay, we got a suspect. He's incarcerated. So, I don't know. We have a lot of dilemmas going in, you know, the community. And I know it's a traumatized community, but we cannot use trauma as a crutch for why we won't or cannot do things to, as the brother said, help ourselves get better. It's going to take everybody. It's going to take everybody in the community to move in that direction. That's including our brothers, sisters, mothers and fathers, uncles, aunts who participate on the negative side of things that happen in the community. They have to be, be held accountable for making the community unsafe.
Right.
You know, so, you know, they have to respect the people in the community, the safety of the people in the community, and things like that. The other side to it is, well, there's a demand for them in the community. You know what I'm saying? Because if there was no demand for them in the community, then they couldn't be out there. They wouldn't be out there that much doing that. You know, all you can make was $25 a day. How many brothers you think would be out there risking their lives selling drugs? Not a whole lot of guys. That's not enough money. Because that's an at-risk, high-risk situation even for them. So, anybody listening to this show tonight, just put your thinking caps on. Try to reach out and touch somebody, one person at a time. Educate the young about, you know, having respect for themselves and their community and things like that. Because we got to, like the brother said, we have to start. So start, because your young children are being exposed to certain types of behaviors and attitudes and ideologies. You expose them to the ideology you want them to be exposed to and what they should use as a shield when they hit the curb, when they go over their friend's house, when they're watching television, when they go to the movies or see a video or something like, or listen to some rap music or some other type of music or anything that may influence the way that they think. Start very young, but don't just end with the young, but start young. And try to reach out to people and get to know those guys standing on the corners. You guys on the corners, you need to be more friendly to the people in your neighborhood and more protective of the people in your neighborhood and of yourselves. I know that may sound crazy, but we got to start somewhere. We have to change the way that we operate in our communities on both sides of the fence, the legal, illegal, and, you know, so forth. I don't know about eradicating crime, but we need to help those brothers on the corners find a way of earning a living that's more gainful and safe.
And, you know, can I say something else?
Start caring about it. Beg your pardon?
Can I say something else?
Yeah, you say what you want to say.
We need to get away from that, from embracing everything from the streets. You know, just like the snitches and stitches and everything. You know, that's such
right.
a I don't want to say a popular expression around the neighborhood that you hear mm-hmm. people saying it all over the place, even like on popular radio, you know what I mean? R&B radio mm-hmm. station. That's kind of like even hear them say that in there, you know, when they're talking sometimes, you know what I mean? In the same breath, they go, Black Power, you know what I mean? It kind of like goes the way they play their music. One song would be something about Black Power, and then the next song is talking about flinging or something. It's, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like
street culture, right?
Yeah.
Let's
be right
like
about
common. Right.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
We're idiots in that way. You know what I mean? It's like we're doing it to ourselves.
Right. Self-inflicting.
Right. We pay them to protect our neighborhood. So we're not snitching because we're telling them about someone that's a threat to our neighborhood. That doesn't make any sense. I want to protect my neighborhood. He doesn't want. He's a threat to my neighborhood. I want this guy, somebody to handle this guy that's shooting up the block.
Right.
He's not a friend of mine. He's a threat to me and my community.
Right. Right. And if he is your friend of yours, you need to have a conversation with him. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
You know what
I'm
saying? A lot of these people are not people that we don't know a lot of the time. They are people that we know. Let's face it. We've seen them, a lot of these guys grow up. We know them. We might know their parents. You know what I mean? If you don't know them personally, you might know his father. You might know his aunt. You might know his grandmother. Depending on how old you are in the community, you know, they're not strangers most of the time, a lot of the time. They're people you know. They say, we need to find a better way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my word out to our listeners. Please. Find another way. Okay. And I'm going to thank all you for calling in, Q, and our caller, previous caller, for calling in tonight. Remind everybody, each one, reach one, each one, teach one. It's not going to be easy, but hey, we didn't get into this situation overnight, so don't expect for it to change overnight. But please, work toward change. Until next week. Thank you for calling in.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.